This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 16th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 299. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And on the big deal feature, I preview next week's special 300th edition with a deep dive into the vault, all the way back to November 12, 2017. Highlights of Sean Holman's speech to the BC Information Summit, the demand for information in the post-truth era. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. A special treat from The Vault, the second edition of the podcast, November 12, 2017, featuring Sean Holman, who is now the Wayne Crooks Professor of Environmental and Climate Journalism at the University of Victoria. Highlights from Holman's speech at the British Columbia Information Summit about the demand for information in the post-truth era. Before we hear it, consider what has happened in terms of a post-truth era. 2017 was almost 1 year after Donald Trump was elected President of the United States, almost 2 years since Justin Trudeau became Canada's Prime Minister. Since then, the decline of the media industry, the rise of social media, and the rise of social media abuse, the dark underbelly of social media, the concentration of media ownership, the rise of artificial intelligence, the pandemic of the coronavirus that came from China, and the global epidemic of misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation that followed. Politicians that exploited the tragedy of millions to seek more power. Politicians such as John Horgan in British Columbia and, in the rest of Canada, Justin Trudeau. Trump's loss and Trump's big lie, climaxing in the attempted coup of January 6, 2021. There was also the 2021 heat dome in British Columbia, more than 600 dead. There was the truckers' convoy, the attack on BC pipeline construction, and of course, geopolitically, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and China's threats to do the same to Taiwan. There were also revelations about Canada's Indian residential schools, leaving a lot of people with the question, why aren't they treated as crime scenes? Here's Sean Holman from the BC Information and Privacy Summit. This week, the Breaker.News podcast features award-winning investigative journalist Sean Holman. Holman founded Public Eye Online and produced the TV documentary Whipped, The Secret World of Party Discipline. He is now an associate professor of journalism in Calgary at Mount Royal University. On September 21st in Vancouver, Holman spoke about the state of freedom of information and democracy at the BC Information Summit. The one-day event was hosted by the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association at the University of British Columbia's Robson Square campus.
My background is as an investigative journalist. I was an investigative journalist in BC for 10 years. And when I got into academia, I decided to start taking a look at issues, structural issues of accountability and transparency in this country. And so for the past 4 years, I've been researching the history of freedom of information in Canada. And I think I've kind of got to the point where, from my perspective, I think we're talking about the wrong thing. We've talked today a lot about the problems that are associated with British Columbia's freedom of information law. We've talked today a lot about the problems that are associated with the Federal Access to Information Act. But the real problem, from my perspective, is that we have, in this country, a system of government that is, to reverse Justin Trudeau's catchphrase, secret by default. So as a result, our freedom of information legislation is like a transplanted organ that is constantly at risk of being rejected by government bodies. What do I mean by secret by default? Well, there are five interrelated traditions that we inherited from Brits and then we burnished as Canadians that make up this secret by default system. And it starts at the very top. As all of you know, the ultimate decision-making body in government is cabinet. And it functions according to the rule of cabinet confidentiality. In other words, everything that happens in it, in government's principal decision-making body, is secret. And this is in part to support the principle of cabinet solidarity, that everyone, once they have had a discussion in cabinet, agrees with that decision. And those people who don't agree with that decision must either remove themselves from cabinet or pretend, in other words, lie to the public that they agree with that decision. And because of party discipline and because of cabinet solidarity, the government that has a majority in the legislature can essentially do whatever it wants and carry out those decisions without challenge. This creates an assumption, I think, that privacy is necessary for decision making. And this is further reinforced by ministerial responsibility, where regardless of whether or not the minister is acting on the advice of someone else or the decision of someone else, they take responsibility for that, which is then supported by civil service anonymity. So you have these five interlocking traditions that create a secret by default system. And we actually used to have a discussion about this in this country. D.F. Wall, who was a fairly well-known Privy Council office official, in a report on freedom of information for the PCO, called this the built-in confidentiality in Canadian politics. And yet, if you are feeling uncomfortable today in me raising these issues, in me talking about the fact that maybe we need to reconsider how our system of government functions if we actually want freedom of information, then maybe that's part of the problem. I think the BC Ombudsman said it quite well. Culture eats policy. Systems eat policy. And that's what's been happening for the past 30 plus years in this country. And until we have that conversation, until we have that conversation about our secret by default system, we are going to keep on having these conferences and keep on being frustrated about the lack of action when it comes to reforming freedom of information in this country.
That was Sean Holman speaking September 21st at the 2017 BC Information Summit. Learn more about the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association. Go to fipa.bc.ca. That's fipa.bc.ca. Or follow BC FIPA on Twitter. Sean Holman was also a guest in edition number 206 that debuted October 3rd, 2021. Here is some of that interview. And we're seeing the conflict manifest itself on a day-to-day basis of trying for that control, trying for that certainty as the pandemic continues to soldier on. Reporters are dealing with this every day, trying to get accurate information out of government communications offices, trying to get it through the Freedom of Information system, and trying to deal with public officials who have their own version of control and trying to get certainty for themselves. This conflict is, and this is all about medical and scientific information. And if we can't get to a point where we can satisfy our audiences with the information that they need in this forum, it raises questions about environmental issues and climate change issues, that if we can't get the information there and allow science, the best information to reach the top, that is going to be a major barrier for us. And you have the skills and knowledge through the Freedom of Information throughout your career. That is going to be one of your major challenges, I believe.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I do think, though, it also comes back to what is the value of information in democracies, right? And what we've seen is the extent of government secrecy in this world and the extent of lack of civic education, lack of media literacy has really impacted the value of information, the ability to use information in ways that are sort of healthy. And the ability to use information in ways that will result in a better society. And we're sort of really coming up against it. We have these big decisions to make as a result of climate change that we're really not ready for. we really, you know, aren't really equipped to make. And I really worry about that. I really worry what the implications are for that. And as someone who is a journalist, I'm always going to be in favor of information. I'm always going to be in favor of an evidence-based decision-making process. That's why we do what we do, Bob, right? Is so that people have information to make better decisions. But I think we also need to appreciate that dynamic, right? That formula, right, is really under threat. And so how can we also, as journalists, think about new ways in which to use information that help meet the needs of a post-truth environment? And what does that look like, right? What does that look like? And I think that's really going to be one of the big questions that we're going to need to consider as a profession and as a society.
Thanks again to my guest, Sean Holman, the Wayne Crooks Professor in Environmental and Climate Journalism at the University of Victoria. It was the ideal way to end the annual Right to Know Week. We need information to solve the big issues to protect the environment and to keep our families and communities safe. Those were clips from the Breaker.News podcast vault, featuring Sean Holman, investigative journalist and associate professor at the University of Victoria. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Taiwan news, U.S. bars Pentagon maps from depicting Taiwan as part of China. This amendment will require that the maps we use reflect a simple reality. China is China, and Taiwan is Taiwan, says Tom Tiffany. The House approved the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act for $886 billion of spending for the Department of Defense. Included in the bill is an amendment proposed by Representative Tom Tiffany, dubbed the Honest Maps Measure, that bars the U.S. Department of Defense from spending any funds on maps that portray Taiwan as Chinese territory. In the Asahi Shimbun, 2025 Osaka Expo organizers offer to build pavilions for other nations. Around 50 countries and regions plan to construct their own pavilions for the World's Fair, which opens on April 13, 2025. But such pavilions require the approval of Osaka City government before work can begin, and, as of July 13th, no applications had been filed. In Hong Kong Free Press, man jailed for 18 days for insulting flags of China and Hong Kong. Quote, "That should have been a day of happy celebrations for the country, and yet this is what you did," said Magistrate Francis Leung, The flags were displayed by the city's largest pro-establishment political party, the Democratic Alliance for the Betterment and Progress of Hong Kong. Yung Ching Man said under police caution that he was drunk at the time and the flags had annoyed him. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Oregon Ethics Commission calls for full investigation into Shemaiah Fagan's lucrative side hustle. The Oregon Government Ethics Commission on Friday authorized a full investigation into former Secretary of State Shemaiah Fagan's contract to do private work for a troubled cannabis company, an arrangement that led to her resignation in May. Fagan, once a rising star in Oregon Democratic politics, has previously said she broke the public's trust in taking a $10,000 a month consulting contract in February. In the Seattle Times, Tetris founder and East Side resident reflects on iconic game's legacy. The story of how the game was created by a Russian computer engineer, exported from the Soviet Union, and then made its way through our Game Boys and into our hearts is complex. The saga is detailed in Tetris, the surprisingly action-packed film released earlier this year by Apple TV that follows Hank Rogers, played by Taron Egerton, as he works to license Tetris and give credit to creator Alexei Pajitnov, who developed the game's first version on an Electronica 60 computer in 1984. With both the game and the creator behind the Iron Curtain, the movie shows Rogers facing obstacles of Cold War politics, licensing battles, and money problems. In the Times Columnist, man found not guilty of cryptocurrency theft, judge notes difficulty in proving there was a crime. Judge Ward Branch found Orion Alexander Holtby not guilty of theft, false pretenses, and defrauding Joel Oman, saying he had reasonable doubt. Although Branch did not make a formal order, he urged Holtby to help Oman access her cryptocurrency. Quote, I encourage you to consider doing so after taking appropriate advice from your counsel. Any such assistance would be a way to honor the affection I sense you once had for each other. Holtby and Oman had a personal relationship in the past, the court heard. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone.
The Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to players and creators of board games, whether it's the BC version of Monopoly, Trivial Pursuit, Dungeons & Dragons, or something else. Happy Community Game Day on July 16th across British Columbia. Yes, Community Game Day, July 16th. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 16th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 16th of July in 1969, Apollo 11 blasted off from Cape Kennedy in Florida, the first rocket that would land astronauts on the moon? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.